This passage was read out a couple of times at camp. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. A very famous chapter. But yeah, it's just something we need to always remember is to keep it simple, silly. Kiss, K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, silly. So, in other words, if you're not keeping it simple, you're being silly. It's wise in the eyes of the Lord to keep it simple. As per the gifts, the testimony, you know, people can make it so easily, complicate it, change it, but the Lord is eternal. So let's look into the Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So here it is, you know, simplicity. Paul is making it quite clear to the Corinthian church that it's meant to be simple. And through subtlety, that simplicity can be corrupted because people change and people grab hold of a different Jesus or a different spirit or a different gospel, as we heard in Testament as well, that people want to be comfortable with, but they're doing something that's in their own eyes. So this simplicity aspect, in a way, Paul is appealing to the Corinthian church or the spirit-filled church, stay a chaste virgin, clean, simple, before in the eyes of the Lord. Galatians chapter 3. And particularly in the Western world, we have access to a lot of knowledge and a lot of understanding. For us to remember to keep it simple, because it is simple. Galatians 3 and verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Down to verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then serveth the law. It was added because of transgressions, in other words, to define transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith that should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but as under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, then, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So in the past, talking about under the law, in the past it was to define transgressions. Now it goes through there that it gives Abraham as this example that he was given the promise because he was the man of faith. Okay? And so now, and then it refers to in verse 23, but before faith came, they kept the law, but now faith has come. So we're talking about simplicity, and so faith is a big part of that. Simplify it down to be a part of faith, that faith in God, faith that God knows better, faith that God is eternal, as we heard in the gifts, you know, and God doesn't change. People change, but God is eternal. We have that inherent desire to be faithful to the Lord through the Spirit, and understanding that that descended spiritually, in a spiritual sense, from Abraham. Okay, so it all comes together through the Spirit. But the Lord wants us to remember that it must be simple, simplified in His eyes, and not to complicate it. So 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Okay? So here, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. It's a simple calling and it's a simple election. So be diligent and work at it to ensure it's set. It's set in, well, eternity, instead of letting subtlety to creep in. But then it says here that Peter, verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. And then even in verse 13, as long as I am alive in this tabernacle, I'll stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So it's Peter who wants to remind the Spirit-filled people, to remind them to make your election sure, your calling and your election sure. Don't throw it away. And throwing it away means that you start to complicate it and change it. But be childlike, to remember to be childlike. And so I suppose reading this passage, I should be giving a talk on simplicity fairly regularly to remind us all it must be simple. and to remind us all to be diligent to keep it simple. Psalm 111, verse 10. So we'll go through some single verses here and there, little snippets of what it means or what we have to do. Psalm 111. And verse 10. 111 verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." So here's the first snippet, little nugget of advice of what we can do to keep our walk simple is to indeed remember to do his commandments. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. But also there's a fear aspect. Fear does belong in our walk in the Lord. It clearly says here, fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. So if you want wisdom, you must have a fear of the Lord. Whatever form that may come in, everyone's so different. You know, everyone has a different relationship with the Lord and a viewpoint of what fear is, you know, but the fear of the Lord, a regard for the Lord, a fear of missing out maybe, a fear of letting the Lord down, just a fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It hones our senses. Philippians chapter 2. A fear of complicating it. Fear of being trapped in our sin. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Where is it? Philippians 2 and verse 12. It says here, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So this ties in with Psalm 111. So you grab hold of that fear and you work out your own salvation. What's important? And we work that out with time. You know, the value of meetings, the value of prayer, the value of reading, the value of spreading the gospel, like how to ensure calling and election is sure, set in eternity. And also this obedience, right? Not only when people are watching, but also when people aren't watching, because God's always watching. So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so then you, like I said, you grab hold of that fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, and you use that to work out your salvation and be diligent to work it out. We will go there. Micah chapter 6. I was going to quote it, but Micah chapter 6. It's after Jonah, before Nahum. Micah chapter 6, we sing the chorus, verse 8. Micah 6 and verse 8. "He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." So we're talking about simplicity, right? So the Lord's shown us what is good, what he approves of, and it's in here, in the Bible. So read the Bible. Do justly, do the right thing in the eyes of the Lord. Love mercy, because mercy triumphs over judgment even. And walk humbly with thy God. So walking humbly with thy God, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, humbly to following his statutes and his guidance, his commandments in the scriptures. Not other things, what's in the Bible. Keep it simple. There's one great book here that we should read. I remember a few years ago, I used to live near a library. I used to love living near a library. And I just wander down, borrow a book, read it, return it, grab it, do that. But a few years ago, I realised I just wasn't reading my Bible enough. So I thought, right, I'm just going to read one book now. And this is what I read. I just read one book. I've realised that life's a bit too busy. I wish it wasn't too busy. I do enjoy reading. But to learn what the Lord's commandments are, focus your energy. Your priority is reading the Bible and keeping it simple. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Just one verse here again. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. So just be patient through afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, right? So it's in one verse, in one sentence. So doing the work of an evangelist helps us endure afflictions and make full proof of thy ministry or thy service of the Lord. Full proof by understanding what God requires. So evangelism, vital. Vital to be an evangelist of some sort. You know, being part of preaching the gospel, being able to explain to others what the gospel message is. It's a simple thing that helps. It's a little nugget here, along with the other ones. You know, walking humbly with thy God. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. Understanding the importance of evangelism for our own walk and our own relationship with the Lord, but also helping, because it helps us endure afflictions. It keeps us solid. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. False prophets, that's like the serpent that beguiled Eve, but there's an active thing that we must do, is try the spirits. And so if we're trying the spirits, we must understand the true spirit, the real gospel. And they're subtle. All these other ideas and philosophies and so forth, they're subtle. They sail close to the wind. Sometimes it's difficult to see the difference. But the Lord wants us to be strong and simple in our understanding of the right spirit that comes from God, so that we can discern easily the other spirits that come from elsewhere. John chapter 3. Simplicity. John chapter 3, verse 1. We'll go through some simple scriptures. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, and this is understanding these passages is walking humbly with thy God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Following his commandments is understanding these scriptures. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Everyone. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things or spiritual things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So I decided to read that whole passage because it's what Jesus' words to Nicodemus. And that there, that passage we read, if we understand the simplicity of the gospel, it's so clear to us. Jesus came to set the world free. Anybody who comes to Jesus will be set free, but those that reject him are condemned already. It's simple. Being born again, you cry out, you speak in tongues. If you're not born again, you don't speak in tongues. It's simple. Baptism by full immersion, you're born again of water. If you don't do that, you're not born again of water. It's simple. It's a prophecy of Jesus being lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness with Moses. Sin on a pole. We understand it. He bore the sins of the whole world. These are simple concepts that we understand. That indeed also he uses a natural example for Nicodemus. And he's saying, look, I'm speaking natural things. You don't get it. How on earth can I explain spiritual things? We want to explain spiritual things. And we heard that in the gifts as well. Like you look at nature, you know, it's a type of what's spiritual. And we understand the application of it because we keep it simple. We keep that sort of stuff simple. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The last moments of Jesus on earth. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus was raised up like the serpent in the wilderness, but then he rose from the dead, and for 40 days he was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Simple. And being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. So we understand that as well. We understand why Jesus impressed upon his followers that they must stay in Jerusalem until the promise was granted. We get it. We understand how important it was. In fact, the account in John, he says he breathed on them. You know, like emphasized with them, you must receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And that verse is repeated 6 times. In the New Testament. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And we know simply, no, that doesn't matter. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Again, through simplicity, we understand the importance of receiving the Holy Spirit and not worrying about earthly kingdoms. Our priority is heavenly, verse 9. And when they had spoken these, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So simplicity, we expect Jesus to come back, because that's what it says, in the same way that he went. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. So important thing that when we read it, it's simple. Acts 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all spoke in tongues. All of them that were born again of the Spirit. Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Simple. We get it. We've seen it repeated over and over again in people's lives. We don't need to complicate it. "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, many more people, as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Save yourselves from the subtlety of the world and focus on the Spirit that comes from God. Try the spirits. Do the work of the Lord. Do the work of an evangelist. Humble yourselves before the Lord. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. Do his commandments. And also it's part of that encouragement, exhortation. We're not here to bring people down. We're here to lift people up because we're in a special place. The world brings us down. It's very easy. Just wander around in the world. You'll soon get pulled down. But in the church of God, it's a place of exhortation, encouragement, uplifting, good, clean conversation about the Lord and focusing and encouraging people to continue to keep the gospel simple and to continue following the things of the Lord. Thank you.